Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said some people grow under responsibility. Others merely swell. Once again, we want you to know how much we appreciate your listening to Bible Meditations. We get back now to our study, and we're asking the question, who is Jesus? We hear a great deal, and particularly this week, we hear a great deal about Jesus the Christ. And there are people in our world who have no idea who it is that we're talking about. There are some people who have been so sheltered from teaching about Jesus the Christ that they only have question marks when somebody says, let's worship Jesus or let's worship God. They don't understand who he is, and so they have questions. This question, who is he, is one that is found recorded in John 9. In verses 35 through 38, a man who had been healed of his blindness now is asked if he believes in Jesus, and he says, who is he, that I may believe in him? In other words, he's asking the question that we're using for our study this week. Then in Matthew 16, the question was asked by Jesus, whom do men say that I am? Now, men had various opinions and ideas about him. Some said, well, he's Jeremiah, or he's John the Baptist. He's one of those great prophets of God. But they were falling short in the answers they were giving. But then the Apostle Peter responds in this manner, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the right answer, isn't it? The Christ is simply the anointed of God, and the one who is God's Son, the Son of the living God, is the one who came to bring redemption to the human family. So if we ask the question, who is this Jesus that so many people are talking about in our world today? The answer, first of all, is that he is the Son of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We pointed out yesterday, and want to rehearse that again today, that you and I become sons of God or children of God when we are baptized into Christ, Galatians 3, 26 and 27. But Jesus is the Son of God in a different way. Jesus has always been, he is eternal, and he came down to the earth, became flesh, John 1 and verse 14, dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father. In John 3 and verse 16, we have explained to us that God loved the world. How much? That he gave his only begotten Son. So if I were to give the answer, Jesus is the Son of God, that would be a correct answer, because that's the answer given in the Bible. All right, also, if I were to say he is the Savior of the world, that would be a proper answer, wouldn't it? In the book of Matthew, the Lord pointed out the fact that he'd come to save those who were lost. Luke 19 and verse 10, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Do you remember at the birth of Jesus, or at the time of preparation for his birth, in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, the record says, ye shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So if I would say Jesus is the Savior of the world, that would be in harmony, wouldn't it, with what that passage says? Jesus then came into the world to save a lost and dying world, a world that had no use for him, but a world that needed him extremely. I'm simply saying that he went through a sacrifice that many people didn't appreciate. John 1, verse 11, says Jesus came to his own. His own received him not, but to those who received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. The word power in that passage means that he gave the right to become a son of God to you and I. Those who would believe on him are the ones who are given that right to salvation. Remember also that when Jesus was discussing this matter of believing in him, he made this observation: unless you believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sins. Where I am, you cannot come. John chapter 8 and verse 21, as well as verse 23. The point is that you must believe in Jesus. Now, I'm aware of the fact that there are people who reject Jesus as being the Christ. Some even say this: he was a good man, but that's all that he was, just a good man. He was not really the Son of God, just a good man. Well, friends, good men don't lie. And Jesus pointed out in John 14 that he and his Father were one, that he had come from the Father, came to be the Savior of the world, and provide salvation for mankind. Do you remember the illustration that he used in Luke chapter 5? Jesus said, verses 31, 32, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." And so the Son of Man came as a physician, the great physician. What's the illness he's dealing with? The illness is sin, isn't it? And so Jesus came as the great physician, the one who has the cure for the illness that would destroy mankind. Well, what about the importance of listening to the great physician? I hear people say sometimes, "I have the best doctor. I go to a doctor and he's just wonderful. He does exactly what he should do, and he tells me exactly what I need to do." Could you imagine somebody who has such high praise for a doctor saying, "The doctor told me what to do, but I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to listen to him." Well, that shows you really don't believe, doesn't it? If somebody says that doctor's a great doctor and won't do what the doctor says for him to do, then he just simply is not following the instruction of the doctor and really doesn't have trust in the doctor. Now, I've said all of that to say this: suppose the great physician has a remedy for the sin problem the world has. And suppose the world goes around saying, "I believe in Jesus with all of my heart." And they accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God. But when Jesus says this, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," they begin rebelling. They begin saying, "Oh, I'm not going to do that. I don't have to do that. I don't have to have that in order to go to heaven." You see what we're doing? We're saying we believe in the great doctor, but we don't believe that he knows what he's talking about when he tells us how to rid ourselves of the problem that we're facing. Friends, why wouldn't a person, if he trusts a doctor, do what the doctor tells him to do? Then even more seriously, why would a person, if he believes in Jesus, not do what he says for him to do? Doesn't that bring up Luke chapter 6 and verse 46? "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I command you?" Could you imagine somebody saying, "I believe in the Lord, but I refuse to obey what he tells me to do"? Jesus is the Savior. He's the great physician. But he provided a way of salvation, and man should simply obey what the Lord instructs for him to do. We appreciate your being with us today. The Lord willing, tomorrow we'll continue talking about who Jesus is. Would you please be with us? We remind you in the meantime, it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.